Christ. I think I've been sharing some things about the Lord. Is that not so? What is that about? What? Christ, the sensitivity of Christ. Childhood of Jesus. Amen. All right. So we are continuing to look at Christ. Amen. So our general topic is Jesus Christ. And it's a good topic. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So tonight, I want to share with you about what I call Christ and his estimate of a soul. Christ and his estimate of a soul. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Anytime you hear preaching about Jesus, you must be happy. Amen. The reason is this. Because the reason is that the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I do believe that much of the preaching that we have should be about Christ. Amen. Bible says that all things are summed up in Christ. In him all things consist. So the more we have of Christ, the better. We have many, many teachings, right, which are good principles that teach successful spiritual life, successful steps to successful Christian living, and successful natural life, financial and natural marriage, and also spiritual. Amen. Not only financial, but spiritual. Amen. Right? But this is a little different from Christ himself. Yes. Do you understand? Yes. And interestingly, I was reading Rick Joyner's book. He was talking and he said he entered into the ministry. And at a point, he left the ministry. One of the reasons why he stopped, he said, was that he felt that he was basically preaching principles and steps and ideas that are good for spiritual, Christian, natural living, but not about the Lord himself. But the Lord was not the focus. And so because of that, he resigned from full-time ministry and went to be a pilot. Are you there? So, the Bible is a wonderful book with so many things written in it. You can use it to teach almost anything. You can use it to give you wisdom on almost anything, from business to whatever. And that is why whenever anybody picks one area, he can let it look like it's the only thing the Bible is saying. If it's money, they will show you there are more verses on money than on anything else in the New Testament. That Jesus spoke about money more than he spoke about this and about that. And a way of showing the Bible to be really about that thing, if they take wisdom. In fact, he will go and show you that wisdom in the end is like wisdom will become the main thing. Do you get what I'm saying? But I believe Christ is the main thing. When I say Christ, I don't mean just to teach about his childhood or his boyhood or his mature life or whatever. But Christ, what he is, who he is God. Amen. And I believe that studying him is a very powerful thing. Amen. What is the aim of our Christian life? What is our destiny? What's the destiny of the church? To be conformed. The Bible says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So God's aim is to make us look like his son. So that when he says, when we say he is the firstborn amongst other brothers, we will not look like strangers or other creatures from another race who have come full of wickedness and unbelief. Amen.
Amen.
Don't forget, outside are unbelievers, the fearful, the unbelieving, people who cannot believe things when you say them. They are outside heaven. Before even you come to the witches and others, they are all together. So even learning to believe and to be a believer is a great thing. If you are not a believer, you cannot follow somebody. It takes a lot of faith to follow somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes.
Do you know that it takes faith? It takes a lot of faith to follow somebody.
Amen.
If you don't have faith, you can't follow somebody.
Amen.
Do you know why you can't follow somebody? Think about Jesus. If you have asked your father, "Lord, I don't want to die," and your father says you would die. Die for who? For what? And he says, "No, I want you to go to Sierra Leone and you must die. They will bring your coffin back with your body." And you beg and you say, "Oh, Daddy, I don't want to die." And Daddy says, "No, no, no. I want you to die so that they bring your coffin back from Freetown. Die in the war and come back." He will say, most of us, that your father is a very wicked man. And that you don't think that he's your real father. But if he was your real father, he would never send you to such a place to die. Is that not so? And Jesus invoked one of the highest pleas to the Father. He told the Father, "Lord, Father, with all things are possible with thee. Therefore, let this cup pass." And the Father didn't mind him. You see, and he knew the cards to play, and he played it. He said, "All things are possible. I know, I'm from there. So let this cup, let there be another way." And his father said, "No, you must die." Hey, most of us would have said that our fathers are wicked, but I'm telling you, Jesus believed his father. And so when his father said, "This is what you are going to do," he believed. And that is why the Bible says, outside heaven, outside, are the fearful and the unbelieving. Before we come to the prostitutes, the wizards, and then the dragon, and the false prophet, and then the beast. These are your neighbors in hell. Try not to go to hell. Those who don't like horror films. The people in hell are very wild. Wizards, witches, the dragon himself. Huh? They are all in one place. So you'll be there when you feel something pass. You see that a real dragon, the serpent which Adam didn't deal with in the book of Genesis, it has become a dragon in the book of Revelation. And now you are in hell with this dragon. So make sure that you are a believing person. Are you listening to me? How many are going to be believing? Amen.
Amen.
And so today, I am sharing with you about Christ. I'm saying all that to say that it's important to preach about Christ.
Amen.
And his estimate of a soul.
Amen.
Now, there is a course in tech called land economy or valuation. You become a valuer and an estimator of the value is something that you learn. Are you there?
Yes.
Huh? How to know the value of a house. Anything that somebody learns in school, you can also learn in another way. For instance, I can give you the value of your house. If you rent your house for 10 years, the value of 10 years rent is usually the average value of the house. Do you understand? So you calculate. See me after church with your calculation. But that's a rough. So all the summary of all that they've gone to learn in the school is that. Do you understand? But anyway, for 4 years, people go to school to learn how to value things. One of the famous diamond mines in South Africa was discovered on this wise. A traveler entering a village, dusty village, came across some children throwing stones. And as he came in, he found one of the children throwing a stone in his direction. And apparently they were playing a game. So he also laughingly and happily bent down and picked the stone that the children were throwing to throw back at them. So as he waved his hand to throw the stone back to them, he saw a flash on the stone. Flash. I said flash. And then he said, "Hey, which type of stone is this?" A stone that flashes. And that is how one of the richest diamond mines in South Africa was discovered. By someone who knew the estimate and the value of that flash on that stone. Hallelujah. And so tonight, I'm here to talk about the greatest valuer who didn't go to tech. Give me my diamond. A flash. And he said, "No, there's something here. I feel something." Are you listening?
Yes.
Many of you, when you see this, you don't know what it is. I know what many of you will say. You will say, "This is a piece of glass or plastic or an ice block." I don't know whether I should tell you the value of this for security reasons. Maybe for security reasons I should tell you so that you don't come and steal it. But this, most of you don't know, and if you were to see it, you wouldn't know the value. But this is worth, it is supposed to be worth. It is not, so don't plan to steal it. Do not plan to steal it. It's supposed to be worth about $25 million. Yeah. But you will never know. And I've seen people pass in my office and they look at it and say, "Bishop has put a glass." Do
Do you think if it was $25 million, it would be in my office? Would have finished the church by now. Well, you exchange this for a lot of church buildings. But you see, if you had an eye for the estimate of diamonds, when you saw this, you would know that this is the largest diamond. It is a replica of the largest diamond ever discovered. This one. And it is worth about 25 or more million dollars for just this. It can make you rich. If it was. It is not. Please do not come and steal. Please do not come. Replica means imitation. Eh? It's from China, okay? It's from Korea. It's from Taiwan. But it looks exactly like that. This is exactly it. Made exactly just like that. You see, but you don't know. So you see, and you throw. And so when Christ came to this world, he came to show us God's estimate and value of a soul. Just only one soul. And the value that Christ placed on only one soul is more than any of us, including me, would ever put on a soul. Up until tonight, I pray that from tonight, your value of only one soul, the estimate that you will place on one soul will rise dramatically. Now, recently we had some doctors dying in an accident. There was a big funeral. It was as though only three people died. But it will surprise you to know that about eight people actually died. Huh? In the same accident. But because these were either teachers, traders, masons, unemployed people, drivers, mates, barbers, somebody's driver, they were not considered as souls. So we had only three doctors died, but actually eight people died. In fact, more people died than we knew of, than we actually had this big funeral for. Because in human terms, we value certain people more than others. In fact, I'll tell you something. Don't deny it. Will you deny it?
No.
Most of you think that nice people cannot go to hell. You see, most of you can't imagine that somebody as nice as Princess Diana can be in hell. If I say that Saddam Hussein is in hell or something, you can appreciate it. Huh? Or Osama bin Laden or any of these type of people. You feel that they belong there. Huh? Muhammad Atta, those guys. Or Hitler. You feel that they belong in hell. You see, because you have estimated people based on their outward appearance and how rich they are. Even when they were going to put Michael Jackson in prison, and when they were going to put O.J. Simpson in prison, a lot of people feel so sorry for them because they are such rich guys. But when you cross over, you see that in eternity, the rich man rather is in hell. And the poor man rather is in heaven. It's like God, he doesn't see rich or poor.
It's amazing.
And that's how God sees. That's why I said Christ and his estimate of a soul. His estimate of a soul. And until you have the estimate of a soul that Christ has, you can never occupy the office of an evangelist or a soul winner. You will never be a soul winner because you don't have that estimate of a soul. When it's dead, you just say, oh, it's dead. When you see people, when you see, like, you speak like the politicians, you say the masses. Or you say the people. Or when the people are coming out of the factory, you say the hands. You see them as hands. Or factory hands. Or the masses. Or the people. Or customers. Customers who can buy. Or the customers are outside. Or the doctors who see them as patients. Huh? And the lawyers who see them as the clients. I've got a lot of clients. And when you see somebody who cannot be a good client, say, this is not a client, this is not a patient, this is not a customer. You see, that Christ sees them as souls. And he has a very high estimate. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Are you there? It's a very famous verse. And you all know it. Verse 26. For what is a man profited? Okay? If he shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul. Or, everybody say or. Now we are doing valuation. We are doing estimation. We are doing estimation and balancing. Value and value. God's valuation. Christ and his estimate of a soul. Or, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What? This question, Pastor Edwin, all we need is possible answers. Possible answers to the first question. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? The whole world. And lose only his soul, that single soul, one soul, not, and he shall lose the soul of his nation, the souls of 10 million people in his nation. He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall lose his soul, if he shall get what? Gain the world, the whole world, and then lose only one soul, his soul, the balance. You've lost. According to Christ, the estimate of a soul is greater, of only one soul, is greater than the whole of Barclays Bank in Accra. Because even Barclays Bank in Accra is small compared to the value that my Savior has placed on just one soul. I am not talking about being employed in Barclays Bank. Because you see, it's a bit far back. If I start being employed, then being promoted, then being made the managing director. Even before the managing director, what post can I give you? The marketing director or the retail manager or any of these higher branch manager. Because when you are a branch manager, you don't own the bank. You are managing the bank. And people will exchange the managing of a bank for the soul. One bank in Accra is not worth one soul. One house is not worth one soul. It's not Which soul? Which soul? Your soul and any other soul. I said your soul and then another soul. If any soul. He said a soul. It's not worth it. Let's talk about a million cities. Let's talk about getting a million cities. I don't want us to go international because Jesus went international on the first day. He said the world. Our pastor from one of these East African countries, he came and he said, oh, when he comes to Ghana and he hears us talking about corruption, he finds it so funny. Because the kind of corruption that is there, it is amazing. He said that over there, the president can steal a whole town. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said that the president can steal the whole town. It's not that he has stolen 3 buildings or he owns 4 houses or 10 houses or whatever, but the whole town, he has stolen the whole town and he owns the whole town. It's for him. And he owns towns. But let's not go international. Let's talk about a job. Getting a job. Comparing a job which may take away your soul. Which job is that? I want you to mention the name of the job. Which can value up to your soul. I want you to mention the job. I'm reading from the Bible. Accounting of where? Accounts clerk. You are going to be an accounts clerk at where? Department of National Lotteries. In exchange for your soul. You charge too low for your soul. The price was too low. Too low. Too low. Too low for your soul. There is no job. There is no car. There is no house. There are no houses that have the value of a soul. There is no amount of land. There is no green card. There is no British passport. There is no European passport which has the worth or the value of a soul. What shall it profit? What would be the use? 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 If you gain all and then you lose your soul. Sometimes I see Christians. I want my child to speak like a British citizen, you know. I want my child to be British, you know. So I'm sending my child to such school, you know. And I want my child to do ballet dancing, you know. I want my child to know how to dance ballet. You know? I want my child to dance ballet dancing. I want my child to speak French. And I want my child to speak Spanish. And I want my child to go to such and such school. And what will be the value, brother, for your child to have that? And then the cost would be the exchange of his soul. Most Christians, when they are taking decisions, even about the school of their children, they don't think of the soul of the child. They just think of, you know, I want my child to have the best education, you know. Value Christ and his estimate of just one soul. You see, that's why we don't preach much about what Jesus said. Because when we start to talk about our Savior and what he said with his mouth, you see that we have shifted. We are not a church. We have another spirit in the church. How many of us have such a value for a soul? How many of us have such a value for just one soul? And when we see a group of souls, we will be shut up like clams. We will never open our mouth to speak, but we have no value. When he dies, we just say he's dead. It has no meaning, no value. That is why the rich people of our churches are ready to donate to orphanages and to other social humanistic efforts, but not to soul winning. Go, because we are worse than any secular company, Shell, Vaco, Barclays, whatever. The Christians in the church are more carnal and more wealthy than even those companies. Because the Christians will support those kind of things more than soul winning. And if you go to Shell, Mobil, and ask them to help, they say, if it is preaching and all that, we cannot help. If it is this, that, we cannot help. But if it is for water, to provide water, boreholes, electricity, school, anything physical and human, yes. And it's a good work, but every human goodness can never substitute for the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Your human, all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Then why do we preach? Why do we preach then? What is the use of the cross? What is the use of the blood? If we are good enough with our good works and all the good things that we do. Don't let me get heated up this evening. Yeah. I don't want to be heated up. I plan to preach a very gentle message about Christ. His estimate. Is it marriage to that man which is equal to on getting near to the value of your soul? Or is it marriage? Which just the concept of even being married in the first place is coming near to you for the estimate of your soul. You see, people who are called, they will throw away their calling and go for so-called highfalutin things which the enemy would throw before them, say, ah, look at it, it's nice. There is nothing that has that value. He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain? I remember when I went to New York. When I read this verse, I remember that I was walking in New York. Then I came to one of the tall buildings. You know, New York has all these tall buildings. And when I turned and I looked at the building, to my surprise, what was written there? Embassy of the Republic of Ghana. On this tall building. And I thought to myself, what is this? It is the Ghana Embassy. And do you know who it belongs to? Ghana. And I said to myself, Kwame Nkrumah, I think it was Kwame Nkrumah who bought it. Or one of these guys. Kwame Nkrumah has done well. He has bought a small piece of the world in New York for Ghana. Do you see? Has bought a small piece. Now Jesus is saying that what shall it profit? And when I say these are buildings that are going 70 floors, there's no building like that in Ghana. 80, 100. You see the thing going in there. The lift that goes is not normal, high speed lifts to the air. And so he has one piece. How much more the pieces? They're just one piece. Okay, well done, Kwame Nkrumah. What shall it profit if we have this one piece? No, Jesus said the whole world, it includes the whole of New York, it cannot value to a soul. You see, ain't it now? When you're soul winning. Your eyes are on money. You are just like the rest of the world. Have you ever wondered why the world has always on CNN and BBC, they always have business, even our Ghana newscraft. We have, we want to turn to the business segment. We want to welcome Nana, whatever his name is, Nana something, for the business segment of the news. Why are the business segment? Since when the business segment can be gone, the whole world's eyes are on money. Dollar, CD. What we'll get, but not on the soul. When you hear that somebody is dead, what do you say? But I know somebody who, when someone died, he said, souls have parted to eternity. Don't sing with me. Listen. The singers today and the musicians today, they don't have Christ's estimate of a soul. That's why their songs are the most wishy-washy. All the anointing, if you take oil to be the anointing, has been washed out with blue omo from the world. It has been washed. There's no oil. Empty, hollow singers without any spirit or even Christ's estimate for a soul. Yeah. I'm preaching about Jesus. All right. I'm quoting. A man has no claim to the office of a soul winner under any form if he does not believe in the soul more than in money or physique or success or any earthly thing, and unless the saving of a single soul would be to him a greater prize than all the Greek and Roman fame. I'm quoting. Amen. And Jesus Christ, he went and showed the value of a soul, no matter what human being was surrounding the soul. Whether it was the soul of a child, he said, allow them to come. Whether it was the soul of a beggar, whether it was the soul of a blind man, whether it was the soul of a sinner, let them come. A soul is a soul. And it's precious to God. My friend made a poem years ago, Paddy Brew, and the song, the poem was, a soul is a soul and it's precious to God. He may be a carpenter. He may be a beggar. He may be a granite seller. He may be a fisherman. But a soul is a soul and it's precious to God. And Jesus said, what? He said, or what can a man give in exchange? What are the possible exchanges that can be made for just a soul? Or let me come for the winning of a soul. That means that the winning of a soul is greater than any job or any opportunity or any money or any position or any visa or any green card or any passport. The winning of a soul is greater and of more value than the acquiring of anything on this earth and can never be compared. Sometimes because you are carnal, when you ask us for advice, we give you carnal advice. Because you cannot receive it. Because you are too worldly. That's why we give you worldly advice. And what you can... Like Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot receive it. It means... Come you. You. Come. My brother. Come. Come, leave your Bible. How old are you? 21. Come. 21 year old. What's your name?
Richardson.
Come, Richardson. Sit up here, Richardson. You'll be my friend after church. You come for a nice book. Sit down. Come, what's your name? Emmanuel. How old are you, Emmanuel? 20. Come, sit here. Take these to be unbelievers. The winning of these two people is greater. Is greater than getting any amount of money. I didn't say than getting any amount of money. These two boys, or even let's reduce it to one. Hey, move to the darkness. You see, he even feels uncomfortable that he's important, but Christ feels that he's important. You don't feel that he's important, but Christ feels that he's a very important Because there is a soul. There is a soul in the person. The winning of this boy is more important than you getting married. If you don't know, I'm telling you. Than you having any job on this earth. Than you acquiring any amount of money. That boy there. You don't, when you see him, you will not even greet him. When you see coming in the shining robes. When you see, you say, oh, good evening, sir. But when this boy comes in, you will not even greet him. Because he's nobody. But when the pompous ones come in, you say, that's a soul. You lie. A soul is a soul. Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange? Exchange rate for only one soul. He didn't say a soul of a rich man. In fact, if you don't take care, you look carefully and see what happened to the rich man in the Bible. That boy, if God sends you to save only this little boy, brother, and it costs you your whole life, and it costs the whole world, and it costs everything, and it costs all the houses, and it costs all the lands, and it costs all the cars, and it costs all the prestige, and all the name, and everything. God says, go and save that. You have done more than acquiring the whole world for yourself and owning it. You have done more than acquiring the whole world to win just this black little boy here. Yeah. You are letting me get heated. Come and add to him. How much more? Two. How much more? Two. That's doubled. When you do an altar, you see pastors who don't have people coming. Me, when I see people coming forward, I'll be counting it in my head. I've lost count, but I'm counting it. Each one is worth more than New York City. Each one is worth more than Paris. Each one is worth more than Ghana. It's worth more than land at East Legon. It's worth more than the house at Trasaco Valley. It's worth more than anything. This boy, one of them. If I can get only one. And then I do an altar call. You are a pastor, you preach, you are happy when nobody comes forward. Huh? Instead of doing crusade. Because that thing is not in you. That's why you don't have crusade. That's why you are happy in your church all the time. Because you don't know the estimate that Christ gives to the people that are walking around selling kelewele and the people who are moving around. You don't know the estimate that our Savior has placed on one. You are like the little boy who is throwing a stone. But Christ has come to show you, hey, look at the thing well. What you are discarding, look at it well. It's flashing. There's a flash in it. That flashing light is showing you there's a value. That you may not comprehend what it can do for you from this village that you sit. Christ and his estimate of a soul. Have you wondered, you know, when you read the Bible, the prodigal son came and then the father was making, he says, get a calf, please. Organize a party. Organize a party. Get a cow. Kill it. People are questioning it. Say, get a calf. I know why. He said, it was meat that we should make merry. It was right. Because he was lost. He's come. He said, they heard the sound of music and dancing. What do we dance about? What is our music about? Not souls. No, something else. He said, it was right. It was meat that we should make merry. It was right. That's Christ's estimate. When they were challenging him, said it was right that we should make merry. He was lost. That's how Christ sees it. He said, which of you losing one sheep, when you go and you find it, will come, will not call your neighbors? Will not call your neighbors. Say, come, let us rejoice. One of my souls has come. Got one that was lost. That's his estimate. Yeah. You don't have an idea because of our ignorance.
Have you ever asked yourself why Jesus died? Huh? Why did he go so far? Such extremes, Prince, to save your soul. Hey. Why to such an extent? When you look at us, for a soul to be saved, we will do very little. And when somebody is trying to whistle, the person looks almost youthful and exuberant and overzealous. And he's doing something too much. There's so much to be done. Sing it.
Oh Lord, there's just so much to be done. Oh Lord, so many souls to be won. Oh Lord, this world is falling apart. Dying for love from a broken heart. Oh, here am
I. Lift your hands, here am I.
Though there's really not that much I can do. What I have seems so small, but I want to give it all to you.
Sing it again. Lord, there's just so much to be done.
Oh Lord, there's just so much to be done. Oh Lord, so many souls to be won. Oh Lord, this world is falling apart. Dying for love from a broken heart. Oh, here am I, send me. Though there's really not that much I can do. What I have seems so small, but I want to give it all to you.
Father, we lift our hands tonight. We want to give it all to you.
Oh,
we love you, Lord.
Here am I,
we love you, Lord.
Me.
We love you, Lord.
Really,
teach us your values, Lord. Teach us your ways, Lord. Help us never to be silent, Lord. When we sit by a sinner, Lord, and we sit by wicked people, Lord. Help us not to be quiet, Lord, anymore. Help us to value the soul of a poor man, and the soul of a beggar, and the soul of a rich man, and every soul, Lord. Help us to value the soul. Lord, you died for us. You came for us, Lord. You went so far for us. Lord, we give ourselves.
Here am I.
Send me, Lord.
Oh, there's really not that
send
much
me,
I can do.
Oh, Jesus.
What I have seems so
thank
small.
You.
I want to give it all to you.
Thank you, Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed tonight, you want to say, Pastor, somebody invited me to church, but I'm not a born-again Christian. Please help me and pray with me. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you especially, because your soul is very important to God. You must not go to hell. Here am I. Use me, Lord. Take my life. If you are here tonight, you want to give your life to God, you want to be born again, you want to say, Jesus, take my life. I'm tired of running. Tonight, I want to surrender everything to Jesus. If you are here and you want to give your life to God, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be saved tonight. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand. Just your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand everywhere. If you've lifted your hand, come to me in front here. I'm coming down. I want you to come to me. Brother, you lift your hand. Just come. Just come, my sister. Just come all the way from upstairs, from everywhere. Lord, there's just.
Lord, there's just so much to be done. Oh, Lord.
Bless you,
so many souls to be won.
Amen. One soul. This is worth more. Have you seen the Bank of Ghana building? This is worth more. More than that building. The value is more. How much more? A job in the building. I have won more than all the houses at East Legon as I lead this and win this soul to Jesus Christ. I've won more than all the houses at East Legon and Trasaco Valley. I am richer than all the owners together. times 20. Lift your hands. Close your eyes and pray. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it out loud. Lord Jesus. Tonight, I repent. And I give my heart, my soul, my life to you. Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. From tonight, I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. Please cleanse me and wash me in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please write my name in the book of life. From tonight, I belong to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice over one soul. Brother, what's your name? Yes. Yes. Let's rejoice. Let's increase our estimate of a soul. A soul. It's a soul. And it's precious to God.
Hallelujah. What a word. Soul is precious to the Lord. Amen. I hope you have been touched. Let's just spend just a moment praying, talking to God about our own hearts. Maybe you feel the Lord is talking to you about the value that you place on a soul. Maybe your own soul or winning of the souls of others. Pray. The Holy Spirit dwells with you if you're born again. He's your friend to help you. Talk to him. Tell him, I need your help to realize and to act like someone who values souls like Christ. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord help us value souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for a powerful message. This message we can make available to you. Just make a mention of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? All right. Well, the time is trying to run away from us though. You look very serious, as if you won't go home tonight. When you close, you stay right here. Have an all-night prayer meeting. Amen. But it's very important as you look. I hope this message working. And let it continue to work. Did I stop the message? Okay, stop the recording. Okay. Powerful. We also have it on audio.